News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pateek Rit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. V.K. Sashikala, the sacked chief of the ruling AIADMK, who was released from jail recently, in a letter on Wednesday said that she is quitting politics. This comes days after her nephew, TTV Dinakaran, had told reporters in Tenkasi that Sashikala will certainly contest the upcoming Tamil Nadu assembly elections. "Our target is to defeat the common enemy DMK. I have never gone after power or prestige. I thank all followers and supporters of Amma, that is Jayalalitha," she wrote, urging the AIADMK to stay united and fight the DMK. Appalled by her decision, Dinakaran said, "I came to know a while ago. Chinnamma had called me. I tried to convince her to not take the decision. However, she had made up her mind. She said, 'This is right. I don't speak for her.' Whatever she wanted to convey is there in the letter." Recently, on J. Jayalalitha's birth anniversary, the sacked AIADMK chief had urged all followers of the late icon to unite and join forces against the common enemy, the DMK, in the forthcoming assembly elections. It was widely rumoured that the BJP was engineering a merger between Sashikala and the top brass of the AIADMK, headed by Palaniswamy and Paneerselvam. In her statement, the sacked AIADMK leader said she would continue to remain loyal to the sentiments of Jayalalitha, just like she had been as a sister to the late icon. Several AIADMK leaders, including K.P. Munuswamy, gave out statements sympathizing with Sashikala, although they were apprehensive of Dinakaran's move, who appears set on fomenting trouble for the ruling party. The main opposition DMK, which is out of power for almost 10 years, is leaving no stone unturned to win the polls in April. The AIADMK, which snatched the reins of power in 2011 from arch-rival DMK, emerged victorious again in 2016 under Jayalalitha's leadership. A massive fire broke out near the Nagarhol National Park and Tiger Reserve on Wednesday. The flames could be seen from HD Kote Taluk in Mysuru district around 2 p.m. Forest officials, along with fire department personnel, were pressed into action to extinguish the blaze. "We have not yet ascertained the cause of the fire, but it is usually man-made. The fire occurred around the edge of the forest from where the safari track starts. We have fire brigade stationed near the forest, which were pressed into action. The fire was contained immediately," said Sanjay Mohan, Principal Chief Conservator of Forests, Karnataka. Passers-by could see huge plumes of smoke as the fire raged on, hindering visibility. Locals were seen dousing the fire with palm leaves in certain areas. The speed of the wind caused the blaze to spread far and fast. About 25 to 30 acres of forest is likely to have been damaged in the fire, according to forest officials. The Income Tax Department on Wednesday carried out searches at over 30 locations in Mumbai and Pune, including the premises of noted film director Anurag Kashyap, actor Tapsee Pannu and filmmaker Vikas Bahl. An IT department source related to the probe told IANS searches are on at the premises of Pannu, Kashyap and Bahl in Mumbai and other locations. The source, however, refused to share any more details of the case. The source further said that multiple teams of the agency's sleuths were carrying out searches at over 30 locations in Mumbai and Pune, including the premises of the Phantom Films and former partner of Phantom Films, Madhu Mantena. Phantom Films was established by Anurag Kashyap, director Vikramaditya Motwani, producer Madhu Mantena and the former head of UTV Spotboy, Vikas Bahal, in 2011 and was dissolved in 2018. However, officials of the IT department remained tight-lipped on the searches at the premises of Phantom Films. According to another IT department official, the searches are going on at the premises of these Bollywood personalities in connection with some tax evasion matter. Myanmar security forces dramatically escalated their crackdown on protests against last month's coup, killing at least 34 protesters on Wednesday in several cities, according to accounts on social media and local news reports compiled by a data analyst. This is the highest daily death toll since the February 1 takeover, exceeding the 18 that the UN Human Rights Office said were killed on Sunday and could galvanize the international community, which has responded fitfully so far to the violence. Videos from Wednesday also showed security forces firing slingshots at demonstrators, chasing them down, and even brutally beating an ambulance crew. The toll could even be higher. The Democratic Voice of Burma, an independent television and online news service, tallied 38 deaths. Demonstrators have regularly flooded the streets of cities across the country since the military seized power and ousted the elected government of leader Aung San Suu Kyi. Their numbers have remained high, even as security forces have repeatedly fired tear gas, rubber bullets, and live rounds to disperse the crowds and arrested protesters en masse. The intensifying standoff is unfortunately familiar in a country with a long history of peaceful resistance to military rule and brutal crackdowns. The coup reversed years of slow progress towards democracy in the Southeast Asian nation after 5 decades of military rule. The Wednesday death toll was compiled by a data analyst who spoke on condition of anonymity because he feared for his safety. He also collected information where he could on the victims' names, ages, hometowns, and where and how they were killed. The escalation of the crackdown has led to increased diplomatic efforts to resolve Myanmar's political crisis, but there appear to be few viable options. It is not yet clear if Wednesday's soaring death toll could change the dynamic. The UN Security Council is expected to hold a closed meeting on the situation on Friday, council diplomats said, speaking on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to make the information public before the official announcement. The United Kingdom requested the meeting, they said. Still, any kind of coordinated action at the United Nations will be difficult since 2 permanent members of the Security Council, China and Russia, would almost certainly veto it. Some countries have imposed or are considering imposing their own sanctions. And Google says it won't develop new ways to follow individual users across the internet after it phases out existing ad tracking technology from its Chrome browser, a change that could shake up the online advertising industry. Google says it is taking the move to protect user privacy. It is part of a broader shift in the industry as marketers such as Apple and regulators in the UK, US, and elsewhere increasingly are seeking ways to phase out more egregious data collection practices. Still, there are concerns that it will add to the tech giant's already dominant power in online advertising, and the change won't affect Google's largest advertising moneymakers, Search and YouTube. There is a growing idea that if you can't persuade consumers to part with their data willingly, you probably don't deserve it, said Brian Weiser, global president of business intelligence at media agency Group M. Consumers are more aware of their data being used unwittingly. Brands, thinking long-term, are asking, do you really want to irritate consumers with messages that create a perception of privacy being violated in some form? No. The digital giant already said it would remove so-called third-party cookies from Chrome. Those are snippets of code used by advertisers to record users' web browsing histories in order to target personalized ads. Third-party cookies have long been a key tool for marketers to deliver targeted ads, but they've also been a source of privacy concerns since they trace users across the internet in ways they might not be aware of. On Wednesday, the company said it won't replace those cookies with another way of tracking individuals. Instead, Google proposes grouping together web users with similar interests and keeping web histories private on user devices. Google can still track users through its own services like Search or Maps. If digital advertising doesn't evolve to address the growing concerns people have about their privacy and how their personal identity is being used, we risk the future of the Free and Open Web. David Temkin, Google's Director of Product Management for Ads Privacy and Trust, said in a blog post. Temkin said the company continues to get questions on whether it will join others in the ad tech industry that plan to replace third-party cookies with alternative user-level identifiers. Today, we are making explicit that once third-party cookies are phased out, we will not build alternate identifiers to track individuals as they browse across the web, nor will we use them in our products, he said. Chrome is the world's dominant web browser, and many rival browsers like Microsoft's Edge are based on Google's Chromium technology. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.